Welcome to DDC Radio, Episode 6, a DDC gaming production with yours truly, Captain Morgan, and my co-host,
Diggs. How you doing,
Diggs?
Guys?
Diggs. Yes. So, we're kind of kicking off the end of E3 here. There have been some pretty impressive releases. A lot of things to get really excited about, but some of the stuff very limited in scope. So, we're going to talk about some Halo 6, aka Halo Infinite, Doom Eternal, Elder Scrolls 6, and the new generation of Xbox consoles. That's with an S, because why make one console when you can make lots of consoles?
Exactly. And those will be coming out in 2020?
Yeah. And they'll label it as, you know, the ultimate super deluxe special edition version 1, and then, you know, the Xbox One X Slim that you can get for $9.99.
Heck yeah, that's what I'm talking about. $9.99. Get your DLC.
So I guess those are coming out in like 2020, so it's a ways off. I got some time to figure it out. But thank you for tuning in, guys. The really nice thing, the beautiful thing about DDC Radio is that we are going to scour the internet for the things you want to know and tell you about them. That way you don't have to do any of the work. You just get to sit back, relax, and listen to us talk about it and get everything you want in one bite-size DDC chunk.
Heck yeah. Let's get the show on the road.
Right on. So, Halo Infinite. After watching the video, there's a lot of Easter eggs kind of hinting at who's going to be in it, where it's going to take place, maybe reliving some past experiences. I think, and there's a lot of data to support this, that the Flood's going to be making a huge return. And that the foundation of the game is going to take place on Installation 7, which is Zeta Halo. One of the things that popped up was, you know, those fancy, shiny deer?
Yes, in the previous. Yes, exactly. But I'm kind of scared, though, because they might come at you. Those things look kind of scary looking. Zombie-like.
Or maybe hence they'll turn into Flood deer.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, those are indigenous to Zeta Halo. So, and then one of the transcriptions from the glyphs in that cave scene is ghosts from the past, which would kind of mean that humans were on the Halo installation, maybe being subjects to experiments by a Didact to find a cure for the Flood. Either way, it looks like I don't know if this is going to be an origin story or anything like that, but them separating themselves from Halo 5 is a good thing.
Exactly.
It's a good thing. Because Halo 5 was great, so long as you never played the campaign.
And, you know, I didn't mind the campaign as much. It wasn't all that great, but at the same time, I feel like the storyline from 3 was, you know, kind of unbeatable and stuff. It just stood out to me, and 4 was all right. I preferred the multiplayer on that. But other than that, you know, 5, I thought the storyline was kind of horrible, and it was a huge disappointment, and I'm sure a lot of other Halo fans would agree.
Yeah, I think so. It's just the fact that they kind of minimized Master Chief really detracted from the whole thing. But we'll get into that a little bit later. There's some other things that point to it being on Zeta Halo. The Morse code in the trailer translated roughly to SOS Zeta Halo Grid, which means that pretty much guaranteed that it's going to be on Zeta Halo. But also, there's an SOS, which means that there's something significantly wrong, because Space Marines don't do SOS unless
there is something absolutely wrong. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Like bugs from Mars or or hell coming through a portal, but that's later on too. So if it's not the Covenant, which, you know, I guess it could be, but I highly doubt it is, they'd probably be there because you can't have Halo without having the Covenant. They're forever intertwined.
Now, what about the Forerunners?
Yeah, it could be the Forerunners.
Definitely.
Didact is dead now, but it could be, was his wife still alive? I can't remember.
To be honest with you, I don't quite remember that either.
Yeah. I can't remember if she was alive or if she was just communicating through a data stream. But either way, she might make an appearance. Or what is more likely to happen is that forgotten enemy, that enemy that could never really be beaten, is coming back, and that's the Flood. The Flood.
Oh man, I still get chills for the first time I ever played Halo and they first came out running at you.
I know. And one of the things that I really hope they kind of wrap up too, I just remember that scene where, it was Master Chief. It was wrapped up in the tentacle, right? Of the Grave Mind.
Yes.
And I never understood that. It like didn't go anywhere. They had this conversation. I didn't really know where it was coming from or where it was going. And it was like this bite-sized, massive piece of lore information that never got fleshed out. It just was left to sit. So I'm hoping that maybe Master Chief and the Gravemind have a reunion here on Zeta Halo.
Yeah, that would be a good one too. It left it up for interpretation for multiple things, and that's what, you know, one of the Easter eggs in there was seen on the left hand of the Pelican shown in the trailer. It says the words, fight for her. Also, on the dashboard of Zoom, if you zoom in, it shows the date, May 25th, 2560. This could mean that we're looking at May 25th release date of 2019 for the game itself, or it could just be a teaser, you know, or...
Yeah, it's probably May 25th. Something is going to happen on May 25th, probably of next year.
Exactly. Maybe it's the pre-order, maybe.
Yeah. But it took when Halo 5 was first teased, it took like 2 years for the game to actually come out. So these like date teasers, just a grain of salt with the date teasers. But the game needs a reboot. And they've completely reformatted their engine. What are they calling it? What are they calling their engine now?
Oh crap! I totally forgot. I spaced that one.
Hold on. Oh, Slipspace.
Slipspace.
They made this Slipspace engine specifically for this game, and man, I tell you what, it looks really good. I personally really think that as games as a whole, as far as graphics go, have really plateaued. I mean, there's only so much realism you can get out of graphics until it's actually real. And I think they're working on that as far as like augmented reality and VR go. But it's the game mechanics I think that they're really going to try and revive, because that's what you're doing. You're playing a game. And whether or not it looks like a cartoon or it looks like photorealistic, if it plays like garbage, the game is garbage. It doesn't even matter what it looks like. I mean, look at Minecraft. There's an 8-bit game.
Exactly. That's
everything is a block, but it has amazing game mechanics. And that's why it's a great game.
Exactly. It draws people in.
Like Destiny 2. I'm sorry. I hate to punch you in the gut there, brother. You take a game like Destiny 2, which has great graphics and terrible gameplay, and it's garbage.
Yeah, the graphics, you know, graphics aren't everything nowadays and stuff. I mean, if you look at even, you know, like you said, you can take a game like that and take a game like Minecraft. It's gameplay, yeah. And Halo has the deep roots of the storyline. And so they can go to 8-bit screen, and obviously there would be some people that would be unhappy. But at the same time, you know, the true Halo fans, they're gonna find something that they love about the game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, and based on the video, you know, because that's all we have to work from, they're moving back to their origins. They're taking it, they're back. The old Mark VI armor is coming back. The more serious tones of the game, and the Marines walking around. The Marines look a little bit more gritty. It has that dark sci-fi shooter feel. And the Halo 3 soundtrack, which was arguably the best soundtrack, is making a comeback. So I think all that together, all that combined, the new rendering engine, the return, the origin, you know, the return to the Halo roots, both in artistic style and gameplay, and then we don't even really know exactly what Halo Infinite is going to be. I'm guessing based on the video, it's going to be more of an open world environment, but we still don't really know yet. There's a lot of question marks out there.
Exactly. And you know what? That might not be a bad thing, but it might not be a good thing either and stuff, because I noticed that a lot of the games are leaning towards the open world. I mean, look at the Destiny game, the Anthem game that's coming out is going to be the same way.
Yep.
A Halo-style game like that might be kind of actually fun, where you have a bunch of Master Chiefs running around.
Right, or
and different, you know, armor.
Yeah, or even, well, yeah, I'm thinking, you know, it's still going to be a single player campaign, but it's going to be like a fluid world, you know, something closer to Elder Scrolls Online, you know, without all the extra people, you know, a place you can go from one area to another. I think maybe No Man's Sky is a better illustration because there's no load times. It's all real time. But what would you think, Diggs? One of the big graphics I see whenever I Google or Bing Halo Infinite, I get this graphic of Master Chief standing there and holding his helmet. And that makes me nervous. How would you feel if they showed you his face, even though they teased it in Halo 4 at the end, if you beat it on Legendary, how would you feel about that?
Yeah. I honestly think it's a bad idea. Showing him with his hand holding the helmet gives a hint that they might show his face, and they already showed part of it. But why do this when players put themselves in Spartan armor and they relate to the suit with themselves in it? And they envision themselves like that. So why take the Master Chief's identity by taking the aspect of creativity development
away?
Whenever
I put in Halo and I pick up my battle rifle, it's me. I am Master Chief.
Yep.
So if they gave him a face, I mean,
exactly,
that would kill that.
I am Master Chief.
That would just destroy, that would destroy that.
Exactly.
I don't know.
And I would see if they show that guy's face, I would envision them playing that character, and that's what's that character and not yourself, because that's what separates Halo from every other one. Cause you make your characters in other games. You can, you know, you see what character you are. You know, you're playing that character.
Right.
But with Halo, you are Master Chief. I'm Master Chief. You know, I envision myself being behind that shield in that armor. Fighting the Flood, fighting the Covenant.
Yes, you know? I do.
The Forerunner, etc.
I'm in 100% agreement with you.
And that's exactly why it's a bad idea.
Yeah. On a high note, they also announced that Halo is going to be getting a TV show. Now, they've had a couple of TV shows already. What was the first one? Well, there was the Reach was a cartoon, I think, but there was what was that?
Was it? I went really Red versus Blue.
Well, that was like way
back.
That
was kind of a spoof.
Yeah, right.
that was a spoof, but yeah. Nightfall.
Yes, there was Nightfall.
They had the little Nightfall video.
No, there was another one too. The one where he shows up at the end.
Yes.
What was that one?
Oh, I cannot remember. But I remember Nightfall was pretty good because it came out in episodes. And it was, I want to say it was on, it was first released on Xbox Live only. But I think you can pick it up on, is it Amazon Prime now?
Yeah.
But you can kind of watch the videos.
Well, yeah, the first one, it was, they were webisodes. So I think they were like 20 minutes to a pop.
Yes.
And it was short and sweet, but it was really well done. I couldn't believe how well done that was. And then Nightfall was good too. But this one, Showtime is saying that the Halo show is their most ambitious series to date. And they've picked up 10 episodes right off the bat. It's a live action adaptation of Halo. So, that sounds pretty good. What's his name there?
Yeah, I'm curious to see how it's going to play out. But
the guy who wrote Rise of the Planet of the Apes is directing multiple episodes of this. So maybe there will be monkeys in Halo.
Master Chief versus the Planet of the Apes. Right. There you go. That would be hilarious.
It'd be awesome to see Master Chief riding Caesar into battle. You know, it'd be good.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
All right, moving on. So one of the things that really struck me about the remake of Doom was the multiplayer. And it really blew me away. It was a very high learning curve. I died a lot in the beginning. But once I figured out how the fast-paced action and the team strategy work together, the multiplayer is really what made Doom Game of the Year for us. Did you think so? Don't you think so, Diggs?
Yes, I did. I just recalling back, and you said that you died a lot at first, and I reminisce about the days, and I was like, wait a second, I died a lot, period, no matter what.
Yeah, I guess it was early.
I was like, I killed a lot of guys back in my day, but at the same time, I think I just ended up becoming the human body bag. I was like, screw it, I'm just running in. Just cover me. I'm going to die anyways.
I'm going to run in, turn into this emulsion of blood.
Yes, those shotties were pretty wicked in that game.
Yeah. Well, every weapon was wicked in that game in its own... In its own characteristics. It was... Even the lightning gun, which, you know, used correctly, was awesome.
That was so fun.
Oh, man, it was such a bane of my existence. I don't know how... I mean, I'm guessing they're going to keep the multiplayer the same in Eternal. It was so well done.
Exactly. Why fix something that's not broken?
Yeah, right.
And that's, that was one of those multiplayer games that was pretty well. I mean,
yeah.
It was fun. And
yeah. Yeah, it was fun. And that was the thing. Even though I was doing poorly, I was still having a good time. And that's the mark of a good game. If you can enjoy the game, even though you're losing, then that's a good game, hands down.
Exactly, and that's where gaming comes in with your buddies is key and stuff. And it doesn't matter if one of our guys went 25-0, and I went 1-25. I still have just as much as that guy.
Yeah, right.
I went 25-0. I usually got more than one kill. I'm just saying, you know.
I might have. I don't know. I was like, I would just throw grenades.
Yeah, start checking them.
Yeah, along with the increase in enemies, they're also going to change and bring new types of weapons, which is awesome. And they're also keeping the double-barreled shotgun, which I'm happy about because there are some root weapons that just need to be in the game.
That is definitely true.
I need to have a double barrel shotgun because it's Doom. It's like the O's in Doom are the barrels of the shotgun. In fact, that's what their new logo should be.
That is so true.
That's what it should be. I'm a genius.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Elder Scrolls 6. I kind of figured an announcement would come soon for Elder Scrolls 6. I just thought it would be more substantial. They were very vague. I mean, there was a video and it came out of the mist and there was this crater on the left and there was a big ruin in the middle and down the coastline you could see a city. And it was all very vague, and it was like Elder Scrolls 6, and they played, the theme for Elder Scrolls in a very Lord of the Rings kind of way, and that was it.
And I was not much to go off of, and
I know.
I'm curious.
At least when they announced Skyrim, I think they're already taking
your money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're taking your money for it already.
Oh, of course. You can always give them money. I mean, they don't even need to have a game for you to give them money. At least
that's one of those games that people just keep buying.
Nine.
And then add another nine on that.
$9,999.
Oh, you give me free elders with it? I'll pay $1,000 for it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. For the deluxe gold.
The lux
encrusted
package.
With diamonds, 4K ultra edition,
special mount that you could shoot unicorn poo out the front of your mouth with, or that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Yeah, at least with Skyrim, when they announced Skyrim, they had like the dragon swoop in. It was like dragon, and you're like, oh, dragons. And this, it's like I don't know what to get excited about. It's like, oh, in-game fog, yay! There is no like catch. There was no. There was no.
It just threw you off.
There was no hook. The hook was 6, and I don't really care about the 6.
Yeah.
Halo got rid of the 6.
Exactly.
Why can't Elder Scrolls get rid of
the
6?
No, I'm excited for it, though. Right? I do like the Elder Scrolls
game. Elder Scrolls Infinite.
It's always good for countless hours of entertainment. It seems to be my only problem nowadays is finding that time to sit there for hours, and that would be my only complaint. But I'll still buy it, obviously. And, because that's just what I do. I buy a lot of games that sit there and collect dust. That's digital copies the way to go, though, now. So it's
Oh, before we move on, I should say that there's been a lot of speculation as to where the game is going to take place. And that's pretty much all it is speculation. I mean, if you guess enough, I mean, there's a limited number of places in the Elder Scrolls universe. So if you guess all of them, you're right. And that's basically what they're doing. they're leaning towards Hammerfell, but
time will tell.
And who knows?
I don't think we have a date on that one, do we?
No, there's no date. There's no date. It's just Elder Scrolls 6. Fog. And
add a little spooky music to it. Glowing eyes in the fog.
Speaking of creepers and eerie noises, Fallout 76 isn't going to have any NPCs. None. A big fat zero on NPCs. Which means that everybody that you encounter in the Fallout universe is going to be another player. And I don't really know how I feel about that. Because I know how, what was the last game that I played like that? Oh, fancy an Elder Scrolls game. That's kind of how my time in Cyrodiil went in Elder Scrolls Online. It was like everybody, there were NPCs in that, but, all these players and you'll band together and it'll be good. Well, that's just not true. Because there's enough people out there that all they want to do is ruin your good time. I just foresee this universe just being a bad time for for people who aren't surrounded by
it. I can name a couple games that come to mind when you said that. And yeah, I'm not too sure how I feel about it either, because I like the thought of running around with other people, but there's always what we like to call fun suckers. They suck the fun out of all the games, and they like to make your life miserable by beating you up and stealing your stuff, and it's coy.
Yeah, 40-year-old men who still live in their mother's basement.
I'm just joking. But no, I know. With my my wife and my two St. Bernards.
No, you're not.
Ma, meatloaf.
Keep it down, Ma. I'm recording. Stop it. On the upside, if you die, you don't lose your progression.
So they can sit there and kill you and kill you until you're super annoyed and be like, okay, I'm turning it off because I'm not going to lose progression until next time, and they won't find me next time.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's going to be like that. It's going to be like that game of laser tag where everybody just stands around you, and every time you come back online, they shoot you.
Yeah, that's why you got strength in numbers. Strength in numbers.
That's my vision. Right. It's supposed to be, they're calling it like quote unquote a softcore survival game. So food and water may be a thing. I don't know. That could be annoying. Especially since all the water is irradiated.
Like a kit or something. Huh. Or you have to find purified water. We'll see how it goes. Yeah.
I don't know. Speaking of kits. Yeah. Excellent transition, Diggs. There's a camp. It's CAMP, a construction and assembly mobile platform. Fallout 4 had a really interesting, I'm not going to call it good. It was somewhat difficult to use, but they had a base building feature, and you could collect resources and then, you know, build houses, in certain areas, in towns and stuff. You could bulk up your towns and build defenses and offensives and all that stuff. And now there's going to be a construction and assembly mobile platform, which means you can pick it up and carry it with you, I guess. I don't know if that means that everything that you build through that system, you can carry with you. And I don't really even understand if you, like, build a house, does it fold up into a briefcase?
That's curious. That is very curious.
I don't know. It's a mobile platform, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's on wheels. It's interesting. I'm interested to see it. In the video, there was a nuke that went off. And because this game takes place previous to any other, any of the other Fallout games, it's Vault 76 is one of the 17 control vaults. It didn't have any social experiments in it, because that was kind of the thing in all the vaults. Each vault had its own social experiment, and as you found them, you could just see what awful things these poor people had to go through. I think it was in Fallout 3. One of the vaults had clones in it, and there was like, I don't know how many clones of this guy were in the vault. And it was hilarious because they were all like bonkers. Oh, it was hilarious. You should look it up. It was absolutely hilarious. I can't remember what the clone's name was, but
you turned back quite a few years.
Horrendously hilarious. Anyway, the nukes, you can get them and you can use them. And when you use them, the nuclear blast uncovers resources.
This is based on in 2000.
Yeah, except that.
Correct, right? Like you were saying previous to its previous base of.
Well, the it takes place in West Virginia.
I thought it was 2000.
In 2102. It's 25. Yeah, it's 25 years after the Great War and before any previous of the Fallout games. So the idea is that you emerge from Vault 76 on Reclamation Day on a quest for your overseer, which is basically how they all start. So I think the last one was your birthday. It's like, hey, it's your birthday. You get to go die. Go out and save us, Vault Dweller. But it works, you know. It's a tried and true story method for this game, and it works. So roll with it. Exactly. Right? You said it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
It's going to be one of those games. Also, it's going to be time consuming and fun. And I'm curious to see, like you said, it's set up differently. It's going to be a different experience, and it's kind of refreshing. Or it could be horrible.
Yeah. Right. They have they're releasing a tricentennial edition. Tricentennial. It has a Fallout helmet in it that you can wear. That'll only go for like $5 billion on eBay.
Yeah, because usually by the time I hear about stuff like that, it's like, not that I ever buy them anyways, but it's usually what happens is my luck is like, oh, did you hear about this edition? No. Oh, they announced it on you gotta be a special club member for this and this and this just to hear about it. And I'm like, well, that means it's already sold out, so that leaves me out of it.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the fact that the game takes place in West Virginia, I don't really know how I feel about that. I mean, if it was Virginia, that'd be okay. Because Virginia is a pretty solid state. But West Virginia? anyway. So Microsoft decided to release consoles in 2020. We don't really know much more than that. So we're going to get more consoles. But hopefully they're going to take everything that was wrong with the Xbox One and not do it again.
Like,
you know what they should do, Dix? They should just start reproducing Xbox 360s and just market them as, Xbox, whatever they're going to call it. I'll just sell 360s again.
Yeah, if they call it Xbox 2, I mean, technically it was sell 360s Xbox 2, again. Which was the 360. So they're not lying. It is Xbox 2.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm curious to see the graphics and stuff on it. I would like to see some virtual reality and stuff, because that seems to be where other consoles are starting to go, where we're still left behind. But I mean, we do have the graphics thing going for us, but at the same time, I'd like to step into the future.
Yeah, or at least augmented reality.
Can you imagine doing VR Halo? Woo!
Yep. obviously, I think they're probably going to stay. They're going to start their own game streaming service. They have the Game Pass now, and it's better than when it started. They have some release titles on it. The last one they had, Sea of Thieves was on Game Pass when it came out, and State of Decay 2 is on Game Pass when it came out. So I think Game Pass is kind of an experiment, kind of like almost like a Steam for the Xbox, where you can go and get games at a reduced price with a membership. In this case, in the past case, you get them for free, 14 bucks a month, I think it is. You get as many free games as you want. Well, as many free games as they have available in the Games Pass section, which is, they said it was like, over 100 games. And it was, most of them were like arcade hits. And I'm just like, it was kind of like a bait and switch. You know, they showed all their big game titles and there was no bullpen at all. But they're working it out. They're working on that. And that's
something I'd like to see in the future is
better games.
You know, I haven't committed to the Game Pass yet, because it seems like a lot of those games that are on there are games that I already have. And so I'd like to see that in the future generation consoles, is I'd like to see them step that up. And I want to see, I want to see games that I don't have.
Well, it's kind of not a bad idea. If you think about it, if you see a game on Games Pass that you want to play, and because this is a monthly subscription, you can kind of, buy in and opt out as you please. But if you see a game that you want to play and it, you know, it comes out in Games Pass on its release date, you can get the Games Pass for $14 and download the game and play it for a month and then cancel your subscription. And you get that game for $14 rather than for $60, which is, I mean, that's a pretty sweet deal. I mean, they don't have all the games on release date, but for the few that they do, I mean, it's not a bad way to at least play a game. I mean, you get it for a month. I mean,
That is not bad at all.
At least it's a good trial, you know. I think with the new consoles, backwards compatibility is going to be there. I just don't foresee them ever having a backwards compatibility issue again, because it has been such a hot topic and a desire of gamers to have backwards compatibility that...
Like, from the get-go, not wait a couple months, and because that was one thing that that was a killer back when I made the Switch, because I was one of the first when the Xbox One came out. It was having the minimal, I think we had like maybe 3 or 4 games, I could be wrong, but that's it felt like that, and it was really hard the first, I'd say 6 months of having the system, because I felt the lack of games was not there, and I ended up playing my 360 a lot more than I did my Xbox One.
Good because times, great
of
the
number of games. And
I know I talked about this earlier when we were talking about Halo, but the reason I bought an Xbox was for
that
Halo.
That is true.
And it was those exclusive games that they were done so well.
Exactly.
You know, before Bungie imploded. And now Rare is back in the game with Sea of Thieves, which is really good. It's a niche game. Don't get me wrong. It's a niche game, but it's very well done. And there's a lot of, I think there's some value in that because it's a niche game. It's not a cookie cutter. You know, people are like, oh, well, you know, I don't really like it because, well, that's fine. That's okay. There are a lot of people that do like it. And what happens when everybody makes a game that everybody else likes, you know, they make these games to cater to every genre out there, they're horrible. You know, that's the direction that COD took. And it's just, and then they just start spamming them out there because I think esports had a little bit to do with that, but, it loses its flavor. It loses its uniqueness and it's not fun. Like when I lose at COD, I'm not having fun. Even when I win at COD, I'm sometimes not having fun. So, I mean, I think that says a lot for the first person shooter genre. And I think that at least what I'm hoping, with the announcement of Halo Infinite is that Microsoft is taking Xbox in a direction where gamers are having fun again. Because regardless of whether or not you like Sea of Thieves, you can't not play that game with your friends and not have fun. You literally have to be sleeping to not have fun. The nonsense that goes on in that game with friends is, it's out of this world. It's shenanigans. You just declare shenanigans as soon as the game starts.
Yeah, I need to touch up on that a little bit.
That's fun. So I'm hoping we'll see some new stuff and some old stuff and some hashing of that together. And I won't have to spend $600 to get it. Yeah, pick up every penny you see.
Exactly. I heard this the other day. Initial launch. So.
Well, thank you for tuning in. Go check out, if this is your first episode, go check out the rest of the episodes and the seasons. Check out all our adventure videos, our tutorials. They're out of date now, but they're still a ton of fun to watch. You'll get to know us a little bit better.
Oh, that was so fun.
Yes. Such good times.
The 999.
Yeah. You can hear about my cat. You know, it was eating the taco dip. You remember that? What were we playing? Destiny. We were playing Destiny. Yeah, my cat and the taco dip. You guys are going to have to... Was that... I think that was also the night that you were like, man, it's really late. And I was like, yeah, it is, Diggs. that's funny. All right, anyway, if you like the way this, you or have to touch, subscribe.
Yeah, touch base like on what you'd like to see in future.
Video. Audio? Video? Audio. It's radio, so it's audio. And then comment whether you agree with what we said or disagree with what we said or think we're just stupid. Leave a comment and let us know so that we can either agree or disagree with you. That's right. Anyway, we appreciate you taking the time to watch this, and any comments with ideas for new episodes and what you'd like to see in the future, all that is good. And so on behalf of DDC Gaming, yours truly, Captain Morgan, and my... You're not my co-host.
Technically, we're co-hosts here, whatever. But thank you guys so much. Hope you enjoyed this episode. We will see you next time. Enjoy. I hope you enjoyed it, like I said. And it's been a pleasure. Thank you again.
Yep. As always, happy gaming.